and welcome to episode 17, season 2 of Raven Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla, and I think I wanted to take a little bit of a break when it comes to talking about heavy stuff. I know that, you know, the last couple episodes have been pretty heavy and pretty grief-stricken heavy when it comes to that. So I wanted to do this episode as kind of just like a interesting little episode that has some information that might be helpful for you guys or might be interesting for you guys, and it's not really going to be grief related. We're going to have more episodes like that in the next coming weeks because I think pretty much from here on out, you know, it's considered like holiday season, and I feel like as a society, we really put a lot of emphasis on family, spending time with family, being around family during the holidays, and it can be kind of a tough time for everybody that's experienced loss, whether it's, you know, human loss or companion animal loss, because it kind of makes you, it kind of reminds you of what you don't have and that they're missing, you know, maybe from the dinner table, or, you know, maybe your companion animal did like a certain thing during Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving or something to that effect. So if you don't celebrate any of those holidays, I do apologize that you're going to get a little bit more content when it comes to being a little bit more lighthearted. I think that though it's very, very important to talk about and to work on grief things, also it's nice sometimes to kind of just back away from it, have some things that are lighthearted, not as serious. I think, like me personally, I've been kind of needing it. I've been doing well when it comes to having a lot of recent loss. Overall, knock on wood. You can hear me knocking on. Hopefully that's wood. Oh, Lord. Let's see. Knock on wood. Okay. If you couldn't tell, I'm superstitious. But I've been doing okay managing some of that better than I had actually thought I was going to. But I can still feel like there's kind of like a heaviness in the air. Things kind of feel a little funky. I'll get reminded, you know, like the normal grief stuff. I'll get reminded of the person and it's just kind of sad. So I thought, oh, you know, we're getting down to the holiday season. One of my favorite seasons is actually beginning. Which is spooky season. I love spooky season. You guys know this. I love spooky season. I love Halloween. I love anything that comes with fall. So I'm super stoked. But I thought that I would do kind of something a little off for our normal content. I don't know why I stuttered like that. I want to do something a little off for our normal content to kind of give like a break to everybody and kind of, you know, maybe give a little insight a little bit more about me and the things that, you know, I do in my quote-unquote free time. So I wanted to talk about, I know I've talked about it, I've run over it like very, very briefly in a couple episodes and then been, you know, not really talking about it too in depth, but I wanted to talk about my business, which is Athena's Puppy Cakes. And this is not a self-promotion. This is not, hey, you need to go to my website or you need to go to my Facebook and you need to order from me or anything like that. I'm actually going to be doing this episode. My husband would be so irritated with me, but I'm actually going to give you guys some tips and tricks on how you can create your own cake for your companion animal's birthday / celebration / if you want to do it for like a last hurrah or whatever you want to do it for. I am here to kind of talk about Athena's Puppy Cakes, talk about kind of how it became, and then also at the end I'm going to give you guys some tips and tricks for three different kind of cakes that you can do. I'm going to give you a dog version, a cat version, and a horse version. Unfortunately, those are the only three that I'm like versed in. That's the only three that I have any experience with. So if you have another companion animal that you would like to possibly make something for, you can always reach out to me and I can kind of do research based on that specific companion animal's needs. Because you have to be kind of careful. Some some companion animals can have certain things that other companion animals can't, so you have to kind of work around that, and I can kind of help you possibly with that if you're interested. And you know where you can find us. Find me, social medias, and also our two email addresses, rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast@gmail.com and rainbowbridgeconnection21@gmail.com, and I would be happy to help you out with that. So let's get into it with Athena's Puppy Cakes. So I started Athena's Puppy Cakes, gosh, probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it started out... I was really trying to find something to share Athena's story with people. And I didn't really know how I was going to do that. You know, you got to keep in mind this was quite a while ago, pretty fresh from Athena passing away. And I just wanted something that I could, you know, share her story and help the animal community. Because at this time, you know, I knew about rescues and I knew about shelters and, you know, I had enough fortitude and enough information to know that I wanted to adopt and not shop and all that stuff. Because, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago, it was known, but it wasn't as a big of a thing as it is now as far as the education of, you know, adopting and the importance of shelter animals and stuff like that. So I knew from that point that I wanted to, you know, that I wanted to do something animal related, but kind of didn't know where to start, kind of didn't know how to help, and didn't know what it would look like. And I was trying to rack my brain on what is something that I feel like there's a need for. And with Athena and her getting sick, I was really scared. It was like a food related thing that I didn't give her enough nutrients, and that's what's caused all of this, because I wasn't really well versed in cancers. I wasn't really well versed in what causes cancers in companion animals. And, you know, I was afraid that maybe her like lack of nutrients or lack of something to that effect had caused what caused her to get sick. And, you know, I grew up in a household where my companion animal growing up, he ate good dog food for the time, but it wasn't, you know, like now where I feed my dogs better food than me and my husband and, you know, my family members eat. So I wasn't really like, I didn't know a lot about food. I didn't know a lot about nutrition or anything like that. I knew you gave, you know, puppies the puppy version, and that was it. And my husband, you know, grew up in a household where they gave their dogs like a specific type of dog food, which it, you know, for the time wasn't horrible. But also not something I would ever give my companion animals now. And, you know, we gave it to her, and then I was, like, terrified after she had passed away that I had done something wrong. I was, like, looking for reasons on why this would happen to such a sweet, like, little soul. And so I was, you know, of course, as we've talked about many, many times, and I've told you guys many, many times, I was looking for like who to blame, and I blamed myself. I blamed myself for why she was sick. I blamed myself for why she passed away, all of that. And I was blaming myself as far as it was like a nutrition thing. I went down that rabbit hole for a while. And what I saw was there was really like a huge disparity for, you know, food and nutrition for companion animals as far as, you know, being nutrition rich. And also I noticed that like their treats were horrific. You know, there was like an article that came out. There was actually treats that I had given her previously because they were marketed for, you know, where they would do a percentage to a military working dog nonprofit. And I'm not going to say the name of the treats, but I was like, you know, all for them. I couldn't believe that they did, you know, a percentage to a military working dog nonprofit. I was really interested in it and like, oh, I love military working dogs. You know, they have really hard jobs and I feel bad. And this was before I like knew a lot about that situation as well. And I, so I was like, yeah, totally. I'm gonna, you know, I gave her some of the treats and, you know, I really learned and found out that they had ethylene glycol in the treats, which is like a substance that they put in antifreeze, man. So basically I learned like, holy crap, you know, they're putting all of this stuff in our companion animals' treats and food. And I wanted to look into that further and kind of try and maybe fix it or try and do something that was going to help in any way. So then I started going down the rabbit hole of what is nutritious for companion animals? What is things you want to stay away from that may not be like toxic for companion animals, but also maybe not the greatest. And so I did a ton of research. I'm talking like maybe even 6 months to 8 months of just constant research on, you know, what works best and what ingredients would be the best for it. And, you know, what is traditional, because there's a lot of like, you'll find a lot of traditional recipes online for companion animal treats. I mean, there's like the treat makers that you can buy at, you know, big box stores where they give you the recipe. And so I was like narrowing down all the, you know, I knew I wanted number one, I wanted it to be nutritious and I wanted it to be beneficial for the companion animal. Number two, I wanted to have the least ingredients as humanly possible in the, you know, I feel like less is more when it comes to that situation. So I wanted to cut down a lot of the ingredients. Number three that I was looking for was that I wanted everything to be human grade. I never wanted to skimp out on any of the ingredients so that I could make sure that everything was 100% for the companion animals. And then number four was that I wanted to offer variations of my product for other kinds of companion animals. So I was doing all this research, I found all of this stuff, and then I went to a couple of veterinarians and, you know, tried to get them to kind of look over my recipes, look over everything that I was thinking about and let me know what their opinion was and what they thought, you know, I should tweak or if there's anything specific that I needed to add or maybe flavoring that wasn't, you know, conducive to the companion animal. And after all of this research and all this stuff, I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to create this company. And so I did. And, you know, of course, Athena was the star because she was the one who was the whole reason I started the company. And, you know, honestly, it was like, yeah, I wanted to really help companion animals and make them happy and do things in the animal community. But also, it was a really great way for me to talk about her and to kind of help with the grief and to, you know, get her story out there, because one of my biggest fears with Athena was that she was going to be forgotten, that, you know, me and my husband and my sister were going to be the only three people that grieve her, that miss her, that loved her, and that after us, there was going to be nothing about her, no one's going to talk about her, all that. So it was really like a double-sided thing that I was wanting to, you know, start. So, you know, I got all of our recipes together. I start like taste testing with the current companion animals that I have, which let me tell you, they gained some weight. So I had to undo that by, you know, working them out, you know, taking them for walks more, letting them run around more, to try and kind of help with the weight gain, because I unfortunately caused that by having them be my taste testers for all of the different flavor variations that I come up with. So fast forward, I'm, you know, trying at this time. So during Athena's Puppy Cakes and currently, because Athena's Puppy Cakes is still around, it's a different capacity than it used to be. You know, during this whole time and now, I have always had a full-time job while I was doing it. So it was always kind of to me like, yes, it was a business, but I always kind of had it as like maybe a hobby as well. So it was like my hobby business. And, I, you know, I did everything right. I went and I registered and I, you know, did everything that you're supposed to do when you own a business. And I started trying to promote myself. And so I was, you know, it was kind of like a snowball effect, which was super cool for me where, you know, I reach out to a couple of people and then it snowballed into me being on local news stations and the paper and all this stuff. And it was really fantastic. And I was really, really humbled that people were interested in my business and that, you know, it was kind of taking off. And, you know, I was doing a lot of events. So the way that it works, I'm not quite sure for other states, but for Colorado, a lot of nonprofits or animal related causes or, you know, rescue shelters, all that, they do events. And so they have, you know, vendors come, you kind of pay like a small fee depending on what the event is for. And you, you know, can vend whatever product or, you know, nonprofit or whatever that you want. And I started signing up for a ton of those. And I signed up for some of the biggest ones that they offer in Colorado. And I was going to events probably 2 to 3 times a week, which was a lot to handle. Because if any of you have ever done vendor events, you'll know they are so stressful and time consuming and also tiring as hell. So, you know, you got to think of it in the perspective of most vendor events, you'd have to bring everything yourself. So they would just have a space and then they would tell you where to go. And you would have to bring your own tent, you'd have to bring your own tables, you'd have to bring your own product, you have to bring anything that you would need, money, you know, your register, all of that. And every time, you know, you have to load it all up in your car, go to the event, unload everything, load up all your car. And it got to the point, you know, because I was doing cakes, because I never branched out to do like biscuits or anything like that when it came to like, you know, treats for companion animals, because I felt like the market was like super oversaturated with that kind of stuff. But there wasn't a lot of like custom, you know, birthday cake options or celebration cake options for companion animals. So, you know, I would have these cakes that were very delicate. You know, I had to be careful, especially the ingredients that you use for companion animals. It's not like a normal cake where you have like the amount of binders and all that stuff. So I would like, you know, have to show up and I'd have to set all of these cakes down first. And then, you know, it was just very time consuming and very tiring. But the thing that I learned the most out of doing all these vendor events is that, you know, I was meeting these like-minded animal people. And it was the first time I had ever had that experience. It was the first time I had ever found people that were like me, that loved companion animals, that wanted to talk about dogs, that would react the same way I did to seeing a dog. It was like intoxicating. Like, I loved it. The events itself were, whew, but going and being around people and meeting them and meeting their companion animals and being there was fantastic. And it actually is what snowballed into me becoming friends with so many people personally throughout the years, because I would, you know, have the kind of the same people at some of the events. It would be maybe the same rescues or maybe the same, you know, vendors. And it really created the opportunity for me to communicate with people that were like-minded, that also were, you know, heavily involved in the animal companion world, where they could kind of help me navigate who to, you know, do my, you know, send my product to promote my product to be able to talk to people and really get my name out there. And so I started meeting a ton of rescues. And like I said before, I knew about rescues. I knew rescue was extremely important, but I did not know the ins and outs of rescue. I did not know the need for people to volunteer. I didn't know any of that. And so I started kind of becoming friends with some of the rescue people, the directors, the volunteers and stuff like that, to kind of, you know, offer my services, as far as I knew I wanted to help and I didn't know how, but the way I could at that moment was maybe just making cakes for events, or I created gift certificates so that they had products for them to, you know, have for silent auctions, or maybe like prizes or stuff like that. So I was doing a ton of like rescue related stuff, like probably I'd say 3 months into Athena's Puppy Cakes, I started like really doing a lot of rescue nonprofit things. And so I became friends with quite a few people, which is actually how I met Nikki. I had reached out to her for My Fairy Dog Mother and had asked her, you know, hey, I see you're having an event coming up. Do you need puppy cakes for the event / gift certificates or anything like that? And she was like, yeah, for sure. You know, come to the event and bring it, and we would totally love to have that. And so I showed up, and she was like the coolest freaking person I had ever met. And I knew like, oh, I want to be her friend, because like she just had like this following. I always say to her, and this is kind of funny, that she could be a freaking cult leader, because she's not, but she could be, because her personality is so infectious, and just she loves, you know, people and animals, and she's so just all in when it comes to situations. And so she was so cool. I just wanted to hang out with her, and I was like, like, I really want to be her friend. And throughout the years, you know, that's what's happened. I've become friends with a lot of the rescue people, where they're actual like personally my friends, and we talk and hang out, and it's not really about, you know, the rescue side of it anymore, and more of just about having those personal relationships. And so it blossomed into me, you know, actually volunteering for rescues and other capacities other than just Athena's Puppy Cakes. I was, you know, to this day, I still do social media for one of the rescues that's nationwide. And I help out anytime I can with any of the other nonprofits / rescues that, you know, I became involved in previously. And anytime they need my help, or, you know, they have any suggestions, questions, anything like that, I'm always here to help them. I did have to pull back a little bit because I got overwhelmed. I was doing a lot of volunteer work with a lot of the rescues and nonprofits. And, you know, I will say I commend anybody that works in rescue, because it is the hardest freaking – it's so rewarding but so hard. And what I mean by hard is the situations and the things that they see, I do not wish upon anybody. Because as someone who is an avid animal lover, who loves animals completely and wholeheartedly, who prefers animals over people, to see what people can do to them and the neglect / abuse situations, it's a very hard thing to see. And so I commend you guys. I commend all you rescue workers, volunteers, even fosters. We fostered one time, twice actually. Foster failed the first time because we couldn't not. She was a cattle dog, and she's around. My homegirl's still around. She is the best thing. Like, I just love her to death. And the second time, it was a situation where we did foster, but, you know, I couldn't have 5 dogs, so I had to give her to a really amazing family, and it was so hard on me. And so I commend you fosters. I commend anybody that works in any capacity for animal nonprofits and rescues, because you guys do work that saints do, and you're very needed and you're very wanted. And I know I appreciate you guys. I know Nikki does. I mean, homegirl literally runs a rescue, so she's one of those people that are putting her all in every day into the dogs. And so I just appreciate you guys. And, you know, like I said, back to Athena's, you know, it turned into this whole thing of me really being involved heavily into the animal community, the nonprofit community. And, you know, Athena's is still around. Athena's Puppy Cakes is still around. I still do orders. I don't promote myself anymore, really, because it got really tiring doing the events. And to be honest with you, I'm comfortable with where we're at as far as, you know, I like doing, I have regulars that every, you know, every month or every birthday or every holiday, they'll contact me and they'll, you know, want to place an order, and I can do that for them. And, you know, Athena's will always have a very, very special place in my heart. Athena's Puppy Cakes was a huge part of my story, the reason why this podcast is around. And also, you know, it really helped me kind of heal. And you know, I've said it before, but if you really notice that a lot of the people that we have on our podcast that have had experienced, you know, companion animal loss or loss in general, they all have very similar stories where they knew they wanted to do something and they did it. And if you look at like Lauren Kennedy, the one that was the photographer, if you look at her story, you know, she lost Tilly and it blossomed into this beautiful nonprofit that goes and takes photo, you know, different photographers take photos of end of life, you know, photography. And it has helped so many people. And then now she, you know, she does her photography and she works for another nonprofit that's an animal nonprofit, Companion Animal Project. If you guys want to check them out, they're awesome. And like, it just, if you look at everybody's story, it kind of gives us like a purpose. Athena's Puppy Cakes gave me a purpose. Athena's Puppy Cakes gave me that into a world that I, A, didn't know existed and B, didn't know I wanted to be a part of. But thank God I am. Thank God like my best friends are a part of the animal community. I would have never met 90% of the people that I've met and have the connections that I have and, you know, do the things that I do if it wasn't for Athena's Puppy Cakes and it wasn't for me, you know, putting myself out there and wanting to share Athena's story. And it's been so nice and lovely because I've been able to communicate with people her story, hear similar stories, and also get her name out there. I want everybody to remember her. I want everybody to, you know, see what she looked like, to remember her name, to remember her story, because she had a horrible start to life and she deserves that. She deserves for people to know who she was. She deserves for people to know what a huge loss has felt with her being gone. I want her to know that everybody, you know, like this podcast, you guys have heard her name over and over again. Anybody that has to do with Athena's Puppy Cakes has heard her name over and over again. And that's what I've wanted. That's what I've wanted this entire time. And so, you know, Athena's Puppy Cakes was like a conduit for that. And I appreciate everybody who's ever ordered for me. I appreciate everybody who supported me, who still continues to support me with Athena's Puppy Cakes. Like I said, I still have customers. You know, we're like, I think 8 years. I think I've been doing it eight or nine years. I want to say eight. And we're 8 years in and I still have customers from, you know, day one that have had my back. And, you know, I try to be active on my social media. I only have Facebook for Athena's Puppy Cakes. And then I have a website as well. And I try to be active on my Facebook. It's just, it's really hard to constantly post on Athena's Puppy Cakes because I just don't want to, like, drown people out with, you know, sad stuff. Like, here, we can come here and do that because we're a podcast. And that's what our like, content is. But Athena's Puppy Cakes, you know, like the people just want to get cakes for their dogs. They don't really want to see like sad stuff and me like depressed. So anyway, so Athena's Puppy Cakes, you know, has really helped me. It's changed my life in so many ways. I'm so grateful for Athena's Puppy Cakes. During the holiday season, I do pies for the for dogs. So Athena's Puppy Cakes is mainly a dog related business because it is dog cupcakes and cakes. But I just wanted, you know, to kind of give back when it comes to that. And so we do pies. I usually do pies for you can place orders for pies during the holiday season. I do pumpkin, apple, and blueberry. and you can do it, you know, you can place orders, but I do every year during Thanksgiving, about a week before Thanksgiving. I do the last 5 years I've been doing where I donate the pies to people. So I will usually just put out a message to a group of people that I feel like, you know, should partake in the pies. I ask how many they would like, and, you know, how many dogs they have per person, write everything down. It's a very tedious process. Last year I did 250 pies. The year before I did 300. And basically I make them all from scratch and they're all single serve. And then I meet the people at one place at one time and they all come pick up their pies. And every year I just love it because I get these photographs and these videos of people giving these pies to their companion or to their dogs. And they're so excited and they're so happy. And if nothing more, that's all I need. You know, I do it for free during the holiday season for the one day to make sure that, you know, maybe dogs that normally wouldn't get it can get it. I've also paired with animal shelters in our area with supplying cakes for dogs that are going to be euthanized as like kind of like their last hurrah situation, so they get to enjoy something before they have to be euthanized. And it's a very sad situation, but I'm very humbled to be able to be a part of that and to be able to supply that for them. So let's move on, guys, to the actual recipes so you guys can partake in this. And I know, like I said, my husband will be real mad that I am giving out my recipes, or that I'm giving out my what is it, trade secrets. But I just think that it's important to share the excitement and the love. And if you're not in Colorado and you want to, you know, give this to your companion animal as like something special for their birthday or a celebration or even during the holidays, like, I just want you guys to be able to do that, because all companion animals deserve to be happy and all companion animals deserve that little extra. So, and like I said, my recipes are very friendly for the companion animal. So for dogs, let's start with dogs first. I'm only going to do my main recipe for the dog option. So I do have I now only have two options, but I started out having three options. So I'm going to give you the one option that I used to do that I no longer do because the amount of orders I was getting for like the regular option wasn't as large as the gluten-free option. So I did have a gluten-free option, and then I also offer a cancer-safe option as well, and I did that in honor of Athena and some of my customers where they have companion animals that are either going through cancer treatments or they actively have cancer and they would like to be cancer-safe, you know, as far as the treats. And by cancer-safe, it's no grain, no starch cancer safe, because tumors do feed off of that kind of stuff. So a lot of people will give foods if they're going through cancer treatments. A lot of oncology departments and stuff will suggest maybe possibly foods that are no potato, no starch, no grain, so that maybe the tumor doesn't grow and that it's a little bit easier for their bodies to process. And so I do have a cancer safe one. And then I have the gluten-free option, but I'm going to give you guys the regular option. So, regular option, you'll want to get like a really good wheat flour. You'll want to get a wheat flour that is human grade, like best that you can get. I do organic. I mean, I know that there's like debate on organic and all that, but I do organic usually when it comes to the companion animal stuff, because I want to make sure that they're getting exactly what they need and that there's no added bullshit in it. So wheat flour, You're going to get wheat flour. You're also going to want to get non-salted butter. You're also going to want to get olive oil, preferably like a good brand olive oil. You don't want to get it where it's like off brand, because there's issues with that as well, as far as like the validity. Why do I always want to say words that I like my brain can't process? There's issues with olive oil where like some of it's fake and they have like added stuff, or like maybe it's not like processed correctly and stuff like that. So you want to get a good olive oil. And then you want to get no, and this is very important. When I say you get no blah, 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 make sure it's no blah, 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 blah. So like the butter, make sure it's zero salt, or like no salt butter. Okay. You want to make it sure it's no salt. And then for the last like base ingredient, you'll want to get no sugar added applesauce. Okay. No sugar added. Make sure it says no sugar added. You do not want to get the applesauce that has sugar in it, because sugar is not good for your companion animals. It's not good at all. So no sugar applesauce. So what you want to do, and this is for like to make a basic size cake, I would say probably a 8-inch or 10-inch cake. You'll want to do in the bottom, you'll want to do one stick of the softened. You want to soften that butter, not like liquefy, but softened. You want to do one stick of the butter. Then you'll want to do, so like I do base all of this based off of like I don't have to measure anymore, because I do everything like off of touch and feel and look. So I'm trying to think, you'll want to do like maybe a third of a cup of olive oil. Okay. And then you want to mix that together. Mix it all together. And then you want to add the applesauce. And you'll probably put about a half a cup of the applesauce, because you want this to be wet. Like, you want your dough to be a wet dough when it comes to this. Because it's not like, so I never really baked for humans before. And then when I started doing Athena's Puppy Cakes, I started baking for humans as well. Like, kind of try to test out to see if I liked it. And I will tell you, A, it's much easier to bake for humans. And B, it's easier, like the consistency is better and everything like that, because you kind of know what you're looking for. Okay, so then you want to mix all that together. And then you'll want to, sorry, I didn't say this before, you want to get eggs. You want to get six eggs. And you put the eggs, like open the eggs up, pop them open, put it in the mix, and you mix it all together. So right now you're mixing the softened one stick of butter, no salted. You're mixing the six eggs. You're mixing the applesauce, and you're mixing the olive oil, and you mix it all together, get it all mixed. And then you'll want to put in your wheat flour, and you'll want to do 3 cups of the wheat flour, 3 cups. And so you put the 3 cups in, and you kind of got to mix it a little slow, because from experience, especially if you're using like a big mixer, that will just literally go everywhere. So make sure you mix it in slow. And then you'll get like this consistency where it'll be like wetter than pizza dough, but it'll be kind of pizza doughy. Like it'll feel kind of like a pizza dough, but like wetter. And then you'll want to do what makes it rise. So in this case, because it's just the basic recipe, you'll want to do baking powder. And be careful, because there's like baking powders that have a lot of like, I think it's like iron in it, or like a metal. So you got to get the one that like says it doesn't have it, which I think Clobber Girl is the one that I use that doesn't usually have it. So you want to do, I usually do like 2 tablespoons of the baking powder, and then you mix it in, and you'll notice like it'll start kind of rising and bubbly. And then you're going to want to add your flavoring, whatever flavoring, as long as it's dog safe. That's the flavoring that you'll want to add. So for instance, for this one, we will do one of my most popular, which is going to be the peanut butter one. So what you're going to do is you're going to find a peanut butter that has literally only peanuts. It might have a little bit of salt because most peanut butter has a little bit of salt, but you'll want to find peanut butter that it, like, there's no added sugar. And so that means no Jiffy, no Smuckers, no, like, any of those. You don't want to do any of the mainstream. The one I use is Adams, but if you just look at the back, it's going to be natural. It's going to be the ones, you're going to find them in the stores because they're going to be the ones that have, like, the oil on top where the there's, like, a chunk of peanut butter and then there's oil on top. You're going to want to do that, but look at the label and make sure it says peanuts. That's it. If it says salt, that's fine. A little bit of salt's fine. No sugar, no added sugar, no added weirdness. Because if you look at the back of, like, a lot of peanut butter, I almost said the name of one of them. I don't want to make anybody mad. But if you look at the back of a lot of peanut butters, you got to be careful because they were doing, like, xylitol in that. And that's super, super deadly for dogs. So just make sure that it's a natural peanut butter. Even if it says natural, go look at the ingredients and make sure it just says peanuts. Because there is, like, the name brand, like the big brand ones, they'll say natural, and then you'll look at the back and there's, like, seven ingredients of craziness. So make sure it just says peanuts. So you want to mix it together, mix the peanut butter together because the oil is going to be on top. Usually what I do, and I learned this trick, is you, when you buy it, flip it upside down and then the oil will redistribute back into it. So then when you want to use it, you flip it right back up and then the oil's at the bottom. So, you know, get, I would say just a couple spoonfuls usually is what I use, like heaping. I would say like two heaping spoonfuls and you put it in and then you mix it all together, mix everything together. And then you'll want to put it in a baking pan. So you can either do like cupcakes. Usually this batch will make two dozen, or you can do like an 8-inch or 10-inch round cake. And so you want to, you know, the usual, I put olive oil at the bottom of, if it's a cake pan, if it's baking or, you know, cupcake size ones, then you put just your cupcake layer linings in and then you just portion it out. If you do decide to go to the cupcake route, fill it about 3/4 of the way from the top so that it has room to grow. So you're not like overflowing with stuff. And then put it in the oven. I usually do 350 for about 20 minutes. But you'll want to check it because, like I said before, this is not traditional, like, human baking where you, you know, can taste it or you know, like, the consistency. It's going to be very similar in the consistency of the fact that you are going to, like, you can do the trick where you put, like, a toothpick in to see if it's clean. But it also is going to have a different consistency than a traditional cake. It's going to be a little bit drier, a little bit more crumbly, or not as spongy because it doesn't have the same ingredients. So that's for the dog one. So for the cat one, this one has been tricky for me because I am not, like, 100% like well-versed in cats. And I know, like, cats can be picky as hell. So I'm not quite sure, like, if your cat doesn't like these ingredients, you can always replace them with other ingredients, but make sure that they're cat safe. Make sure that the ingredients are okay for your cat to eat because, like I said before, there's a lot of things that dogs can have that cats can't and vice versa. So just make sure that you're doing your research. If at all possible, contact your vet and just ask your vet, like, hey, can my cat have, I don't know, Spurgeon or something? I don't know. And, you know, they'll be able to tell you if your cat can have it or not. So for this one, for the cat one, you're going to want to get olive oil again. And when I say with olive oil, just be very cautious on the amount of olive oil that you're using as well, because you don't want, like, anything that's too fattening, anything too oily. Like, A, your cake's going to turn out oily as hell. But B, also, like, you got to be careful that you don't overdo the oil and, like, cause issues for your dog. Also, if your dog has pancreatitis, these are not pancreatitis approved. Talk to your vet first before ever giving a companion animal any, like, extra things, because pancreatitis is scary as hell, and it can be brought on by many, many, many different things. So just make sure, if you have any questions, if your companion animal has pancreatitis, just contact the veterinarian. And because usually dogs, or like, I know that dogs usually that have pancreatitis are on like very, very low, extremely low fat content food. So I'm not sure if this would be a good fit because of the olive oil. So just make sure that if you are thinking about doing this and your companion animal has pancreatitis, just be careful and make sure you contact your vet to make sure it's okay. So you want to have olive oil. You'll want to have one can of tuna, and you're going to drain it. And then two tablespoons of wheat flour, one egg, and 1/8 teaspoon cheddar cheese, and 4 cooked shrimp. So what you're going to do is you're going to, I guess I should have started out with this like beforehand when it came to the dog version. It's hard because the dog version is like all memory. Like, it's all muscle memory. It's all, you know, I've been doing it for so long that I don't even measure anymore. I don't even do that. So I apologize. But the cat one, I don't do very often. I've only done like twice. So I had to like look at my notes. So first and foremost, as like with the dog one too, probably, you're going to want to put your oven at 350. So then you're going to get muffin / cupcake cups. And you're going to want to put a little bit of the olive oil, like brush it in to the cup. Then you're going to want to combine the tuna that was strained, flour, the egg white, like one egg white, and cheddar cheese in a bowl. And you're going to mix it all together. Mix it real good. And then you're going to fill it into the muffin cups or the cupcake cups. And then you're going to bake for 15 minutes. You're going to have it bake for 15 minutes. Like I said, this is hard to kind of know when they're done. You'll know when it's done. This one isn't as hard because like the cat cakes are a little less like, you can see that they're done, where dog cakes, you know, they're a little bit more dense. So I can, like, the cat cakes might be a little bit easier for you. But you're going to do it for 15 minutes, and then you're going to take them out and let it cool. And the garnish on top is what the shrimp is going to be. So you're going to take one of the shrimps, and you're going to, you can either cut it in half or whatever you want to do, and then you can put it on top of that. And for the puppy cakes, it's really up to you on this. This is traditionally what I do, but this is also like a business thing. I usually take cream cheese and create the frosting with cream cheese. I know other businesses and companies will use actual frosting, but sugar is very bad for your companion animal, especially in like a larger dose like that. So just make sure that whatever you use for your topping for your puppy cake, that it is something that is companion animal or, you know, dog friendly. And cream cheese in small doses, like dairy is not the best for companion for dogs. Like dairy, like you're not supposed to really give your dog very much dairy, but a little bit of cream cheese is not that big of a deal. So it's up to you. You can spread it on or use a cake, cupcake piping bag or whatever you want to do. But yeah, cupcake, usually a little bit of cream cheese is what I add. So it kind of adds a little pizzazz to the top, but it's up to you, whatever you want to do. And then the next one that I wanted to do is for horses. And I did this one time. I literally did this one time, and it was a special request from somebody that I really, really liked. And they were like, please, please do a horse cake. And I was like, okay. And so I had to do a bunch of research on that because I have no idea what horses eat. I always assumed they just eat sugar and like apples and then grass. So I really had to do some research on this. So for the horse cake, you'll want to do 4 cups of oats, 1 cup of molasses or honey. So it depends on what you want to do, molasses or honey. As usual, probably get the one with the least ingredients, especially when it comes to the honey, the molasses. Then the more quality honey usually is the ones that are like local farm honey, just FYI. Then you want to do 2 carrots that are cut into sticks and an apple that you want to cut into slices. So for this one, you don't have to put in the oven. It's a make and take kind of cake. Oh my God, I rhymed. So you want to mix the honey or the sweet molasses and oats together in a large bowl. You just want to mix everything in the large bowl. And then when it's everything's fully mixed, you want to place the mixture on a plate and shape it into the form of a birthday cake. So you can use a mold for this as well, like a lot of stores. You can find them at Walmart. You can find them Michael's, anywhere where you can find molds. So like if you want your, you know, horse to have like a unicorn cake, which would be so freaking cool, then you can go get the mold. So you just go, you take those ingredients and you mold it into the form of it. Then you're going to want to use the carrots as the candles, and then you can use the apple slices as like the decoration. You can spell out their name. You can do whatever. And it's really super easy. The horse one, I think, is probably the easiest out of the three that I mentioned. From what I understand from my customer that I had made the horse cake for, their horse like went crazy, loved the cake, was super excited. And so, yeah, so those are the three that I wanted to share with you. I know this episode, like I said, is not like the traditional, but I think we need a break. I think we all kind of need a break. And also, you know, pretty much from the next episode on, we are going to be doing related things to the holiday season, spooky season, stuff like that. I'm going to try and bring back our really awesome, like we did last year, where we do tales from, you know, listeners, or tales from, you know, stories of like companion animals when it comes to spooky season. And so I'm really, really excited with that. You can look for that episode probably in October. I might even do two because I really love Halloween. So we might do two. But yeah, so I love you guys. I'm so happy you guys are listening. I know that things are going to get better. Things are going to even out. And just stay with me, okay? And I appreciate you. Thank you.